Our subject tonight, even the title is awesome. Bloody water, boils, and blisters. And ladies and gentlemen, if that sounds terrible, it's because it is. You know, there's so many things in the Bible that many have never heard before, but they've been there all the time. When you begin to study the Word of God and find these things, it is edifying and it is also very sobering. I want to begin with a text of Scripture, and I would suggest you write these things down. Look at them in your own Bible. Get into the habit of studying the Word. And pray before you study. And if you do that, the Lord will lead you. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12:1. If you don't have a Bible, just write it down. The Bible says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time." Now, that's enough to sober us up tonight, isn't that right? When you think of the great catastrophes that have fallen upon the world, the cataclysm which involved the Jews in World War II, you know there have been some awful times of trouble on earth, and yet the Bible says a time is coming when there'll be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And something's going to happen to signal the beginning of this time of trouble. It says, "Michael shall stand up." Now, ordinarily, we say Michael. But I wanted to pronounce certain syllables so that you'd know who Michael was. The latter part of that word, El, is a contraction of Elohim, which is the name of God. Bethel means house of God. Michael means one who is as God. And this is a reference to none other than Jesus Christ. He is called the great prince. Would you say amen? It says he's going to stand up. Right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father, listening all night long to hear some sinner pray. But ladies and gentlemen, as surely as we're born into this world, praying time is going to move on past some of us. Right now, probation is protracted and Christ delays his coming. And Peter said the reason he hasn't come, he's not willing that any should perish. And yet some of us are fooling around and dilly-dallying, trying to serve God and mammon. Christ will not wait forever, for the Bible says in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And the day is going to come when Michael shall stand up, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And that will be the signal for a time of trouble to begin, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Well, Daniel isn't the only one who caught the vision. In Hosea chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 6. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But you say, "Wait a minute, Pastor. You told us that when folks didn't know, God winked at it." Well, I want you to know the Bible doesn't say that. It says that the times of ignorance God winked at. That's when people didn't know and didn't have a chance to know. But Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge." And that's the difference. Amen. People in ignorance have never had knowledge. It's never been brought to them. But here the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thy children." That's verse 6. Listen to verse 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." Because, here is why the Lord has a controversy. Controversy means an argument, a score to settle, a contention. "Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore the land shall mourn. Oh, beloved, you ought to pay close attention tonight. This is so solemn, it almost makes me tremble. God has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore, the land shall mourn. Let's see some more of this in Isaiah chapter 13. And I'm going to read verse 9. The Bible says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And I will punish the world for their evil. Oh, beloved, please listen. Men sin as though there's no score to settle. But I heard a friend of mine say, payday someday. Every man shall give account of himself unto God, the Bible declares. And the Bible says, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Right now, God is proffering love. Right now, he's softly and tenderly calling. But one day, the prophet says, he's going to stand up and walk out from between God and man. He's going to throw down the censer of intercession. He's going to pull off the mediatorial robes of a priest. He's going to put on the regal garments of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to declare, it is done. Now, that's what we face whether we like it or not. In Zechariah 7 and verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us why God's going to take this hard position. I want to read it to you. It says, but they refused to hearken. They refused to do what? That means to listen and pay attention. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their heart as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord hath sent. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord. Would you say amen? And I want you to get the impotence of people. God speaks of them in descriptive language here through the prophet. He said they refused to listen. They pulled away the shoulder. Did you ever reach out to try to talk to a child and he snatched away? Well, that's what God sees people doing when they don't pay him attention. They refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder, stopped their ears that they should not hear. Doesn't just mean you put your finger in your ear. It means you won't come to hear the word of the Lord. Go to a football game in the snow, but won't go to hear the word of the Lord in the sunshine. God said that's like stopping your ears. And God says, I am insulted by that. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord. Now to the New Testament, the book of Revelation chapter 15. And I want you to notice with me the last verse of that chapter. Revelation and verse 8, chapter 15 and verse 8. It said, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man, how many men? And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got to deal with that a moment. The Bible says the temple was filled with smoke. Well, what temple are you talking about, John? You're talking about some building here on earth? Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19. The Bible says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. Where? John said in chapter 11, the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and a great hail. And the temple was where? And in chapter 15 and verse 8, John in continuing vision said that that temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now that ought to cause you some concern. What do you mean the temple of God in heaven and no man can enter? What man can go to heaven anyhow? Well, I want to tell you something about the temple of God in heaven. The earthly tabernacle was a symbol or a type of the temple of God in heaven. And there was a place in the earthly tabernacle and in the Jewish temple which was called the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And in there was a single piece of furniture. It was called the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testament. Would you say amen out there? It was a chest, 55 inches long, 33 inches square. It was overlaid with pure gold, and the lid of it was solid gold, and on either end were golden angels with their wings o'erspread, and between them was the holy Shekinah glory, which represented the very presence of God. Now, all of that was just typical of what's in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, in heaven, the Bible says there is the Ark of the Testament. Would you say amen out there? And instead of golden angels, there are real angels. Lucifer used to be one of them. He was a covering cherubim. Would you say amen out there? Instead of the Holy Shekinah manifestation, the God of heaven and earth sits on the throne. Would you say amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, what was in the Ark of the Covenant on earth? The law of God. I read it to you out here. Moses put the law in the ark, and that's all that was in there. Now, in heaven, John said he saw the real McCoy. He saw the Ark of the Testament. Well, what's in the ark? God's divine law. And the lid above the law is where God sits. It's called the mercy seat. It was called that on earth. It's called that in heaven. Would you say amen out there? There are some folk who have enough nerve to think they can change God's law. Well, I want to tell you, I will believe it when you do certain things. First thing you got to do is go to heaven. Because that's where the original is. Would you say amen out there? Then when you get to heaven, you got to walk down a golden street to the center of the city where the throne of God is. And when you find the throne of God, you got to grab two angels and snatch them off their positions. Then you got to move God himself and throw mercy aside before you can even reach the law. Incredible. Well, you say, how can a man enter the temple of God in heaven? I want to tell you how he can enter by faith. Jesus said, if any man sins, he's got an advocate with the Father. Let him come boldly to the throne of grace that he might find mercy to help in time of need. Would you say amen out there? Doesn't mean that you're going to get on a rocket and go to glory. It means that when a Christian falls down on his knees, or even a sinner who wants to be a Christian falls down on his knees and cries out, Lord, have mercy. It is as though he is ushered right into the throne room of God by faith. God doesn't send some angel. He gives you his personal attention. And standing next to the throne is the Son of God pleading for you. And whenever justice says, that sinner ought to die, Jesus holds up his hands with the nail scars there. And he says, Father, sin demands death, but I died for that sinner. Let's give him mercy and grace. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I can get on my knees and go before God by faith.
go right on into the throne room. I don't have to stop at the pearly gate. I don't have to fool with an angel somewhere. I can go right on into the presence of God. I've got a lawyer standing there to plead my case. But the time's going to come when God won't hear any more prayer. The temple of God was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter. You can't get in any longer. God will be through hearing prayer. God will be through with preachers preaching sermons. Folks have decided they want no part of God. Now God decides they've gone too far. He doesn't want any part of them. You think I am just putting it together? Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11. The Bible says, the time will come when Jesus will declare, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works have been. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus decides that the time has come, he's going to close probation. No more prayers heard now. If you haven't prayed, too late to pray. If you haven't cried, too late to cry. If you haven't pleaded, too late to plead. If you haven't repented, too late to repent. He that is unjust will just have to stay that way. No hope now. No more mercy. No more grace. He that is filthy, let him stay filthy. No more blood to wash away filth. But thank God, on the other hand, it says, he that is holy, let him be holy still. Whatever shape you're in is the shape you're going to stay in. And the very next verse says, behold, I come quickly. Now, beloved, the appeal of God is, if you plan to pray, do it now. You plan to obey, do it now. There are people known to me have been listening to sermons like this. Some have even followed my meetings from city to city. And oh, they'll tell me, I enjoy it. I don't preach for you to enjoy. That's not enough. If there is no reformation, sermon isn't worth a dime. And we're running out of time. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. What's going to happen then? My spirit shall not always strive with man. The Jews rejected Christ and went too far. And Titus laid siege to Jerusalem and 1,100,000 of them died. The crosses were so thick on Mount Calvary that Josephus refers to them as a forest of crosses. Not only that, but other Jews holed up in the temple thinking that maybe the Romans wouldn't break through. And the Romans simply let them stay in there until they began to starve to death. They gnawed on the leather of their sandals and their belts. Women roasted their babies on altar fires and ate their flesh. In fulfillment of a prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 46, they ate their children. And when they were finally ready, the Romans broke through and began to hew down indiscriminately until the blood ran down the white marble floors of the temple and down the steps leading up to the temple like a river. They had gone too far. And before us is a time of trouble such as never before. Before I go to the screen and speak to you from Revelation 16, We read the last verse of 15. The next verse is verse 1 of 16. Before we go to the screen with that, I want to read the appeal of God in the book of Zephaniah. Not Zechariah, Zephaniah. And it is Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And this is how God speaks to us. He says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, seek ye the Lord. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Seek ye the Lord. It may be you'll be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Get yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree. What decree? The decree in glory. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Before Christ throws down the censer of intercession, before he pulls off his robes of mediator, get it together. For once he walks out, it's too late. Well, then what happens? Revelation 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Would you take the lights down now? And I'm going to simply give you the things that you'll read in Revelation chapter 16. And I want you to follow me on the screen. The Bible says in verse 2, I'll read it as the lights go out. It says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. You asked for a sermon on the mark of the beast. I'm going to preach it next week. And the Bible says those who get it will be the ones who receive the seven last plagues. And the first plague was a noisome and grievous sore that fell on those who had the mark of the beast. If you understand that, will you say amen? And now with the lights out, put that projector on. Let's go to the screen, ladies and gentlemen. There are those who reject the light of God. They love the darkness and they turn away from the light. They rather walk in darkness and be with the crowd than to stand up for Jesus and walk in the light. Many are refusing and will keep on refusing and putting off and procrastinating until the decree go forth. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And the Bible tells us that when that happens, there will fall upon man a noisome and grievous sore. You know, I wish these could be brighter, and they should be. But rear projection doesn't make it as bright as front projection. But if you look, you will see that these people are covered with a terrible boil. Runny, smelly sore, says the original tongue. A grievous sore, says the authorized version. Not only is it on your body, but it hurts, and there is fever, and it runs pus, and it not only does that, but it stinks. And suddenly, those who have rejected God's will and refused to follow His word are afflicted. And you know how folks can act when they're in trouble. They can be ever so cool as long as they're getting along all right. But the minute trouble comes, they learn how to pray then. People who never prayed before cry, Lord, have mercy, when they're in trouble. And everybody's going to pray sometime. Everybody's going to wish he had done right one of these days. I can hear some mother looking at her body. Suddenly, she sees she's covered with a boil. She reaches over and touches her husband, and he is groaning in his misery. He's covered with it too. They go into the little children's room, and they are covered with it. They get on the phone and call the doctor. Doctor can't help. He's got it too. It is the wrath of God. Oh, you would say, that sounds incredible. You ought to read what happened to the Egyptians when the plagues of God's wrath fell on them. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue consume away in their mouth. You think cancer is something? You ain't seen nothing yet. Would you say amen out there? Then the Bible says, the second angel poured out his vial upon the seas, and they became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. In case you don't know it, 2/3 of the earth's surface is covered with water, and the largest creatures on earth are in the seas, bigger than elephants. The great blue whale will make up the bulk of 3 or 4 elephants or more. And yet, when this angel turns the seas to blood, all of these fish and creatures will die. Their bodies will become bloated. They will float to the surface, and the stench will be like one giant's cesspool of filth. And the Bible says the third angel poured out his vial upon the streams and the fountains of water. Not only will the seas turn to blood, but the Bible goes on to say in the next verse or so that God will judge those who receive the mark of the beast by giving them blood to drink. Get the picture now. Body broken out with sores from head to toe. Fever ravaging those bodies, wishing they could die and can't. And the terror and the fear that goes along with that. And now in their burning fever, they want a glass of water. And they go over and turn on the faucet, and out pours blood. Well, you say, if the waterworks are bloody, what about the saints? I can't tell you how God's going to work it out, but I can quote the scriptures. The Bible says, your bread and your water shall be sure. Would you say amen out there? Oh, then that next angel flies. Bible says he poured out his vial upon the sun. Men have worshipped the sun almost back to the gates of Eden. They have worshipped the creature instead of the creator. They named the first day of the week after it. And today, men are still paying homage to a pagan god, the god called the sun. And the angel will pour out the wrath of God on the sun. And the Bible says power will be given to the sun to scorch men with fire, blisters, bloody water. And now, it's misery. Misery from the burning sun that they've worshipped. The Bible says the next angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, the headquarters, and darkness filled it. Darkness that is palpable, so dark you can feel it, like the darkness that fell on Egypt on that dreadful night. And the Bible says they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed God because of the plagues. I read one writer who said, it is a fit judgment for their tongues. For with their tongues they have lied against God. With their tongues they have perverted the truth. With their tongues they have led men astray. With their tongues they have led the whole world practically into apostasy. And now, as a judgment from God, they gnaw their tongues and blaspheme God because of the plague. And then the Bible says that next angel pours out his vial. Ladies and gentlemen, this sixth plague, you've heard a lot of talk about. People speculate and they don't know what they're talking about, just talking. But there's going to be a last war in the midst of all the agitation, in the midst of all the fear, in the midst of the falling judgments. Men are going to turn against one another. You know how short tempers become when folk are irritated. And they are going to begin to blame one another for the curse. And war is going to break out. And bless God, they're going to blame the saints for bringing down the judgment of God. And they will decree that those saints should die. And this will usher in the battle of Armageddon, which is the world's last war. Now, God has not filled us in all the details, but God talks about the carnage and the blood. He said the blood will rise to the horses' bridles. That is a figurative or typical explanation. The idea is, from one end of the earth, even to the other end, shall lie the bodies of the dead. And the Bible says, they shall be like dung. Nobody will bury them. Nobody will cry over them. The slain of the Lord. I want to settle something with you tonight. God's going to fix this wicked world. God's going to have the last word. God's going to settle the issue. The battle of Armageddon will be the devil's Waterloo. It will be the place where the forces of heaven will meet the forces of hell in one last conflict. And I ask you tonight, who is on the Lord's side? Let him say amen. But there's another crowd that lines up with the devil, and it's too late to pray, and they will fight, and there will be an overplus of dead bodies and smoking blood. It's coming, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. And then comes the last plague, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 21. The Bible says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Oh, beloved, you say that's so awful, I don't want to hear it. Well, it's in there. You might as well hear it, ladies and gentlemen. That last plague will be God raining down hailstones. You know, in order to create problems down here, man's got to have cannon and machine guns. And he's got to have his airplanes. And he's got to have his little old bombs. Isn't that right? But God has proved over and over and over again, all he has to do is wave his hand, and the elements get out of control. And flood waters sweep away whole cities. Bodies and cars and houses and businesses are washed downstream as though they were made out of paper. God doesn't need any bombs. All he needs is rain and snowflake and earthquake and thunder and lightning. And the record is that one day he's going to rain down hail from heaven. Drop the light now. And it says that every stone of hail is the weight of a talent. Well, if you compare that weight to English, it means about 57 pounds. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a 50-pound block of ice. They tell me that if a man weighing 100 pounds went up on the top of a building 25 stories high and jumped off as his body plummeted toward the earth, the density of his body, compounded by the velocity of his fall, would increase the pressure of his body so that by the time a 100-pound man hit the ground, he's weighing a ton. Now I want you to think, a 57-pound block of ice coming all the way from heaven, picking up speed, hurtling down through space. When it strikes the earth's atmosphere, it will plunge clean through buildings and bomb shelters. There will be nowhere to hide. Would you say amen out there? Oh, I know, because the Bible tells us God's got the stuff already ready for the day of judgment. It's in Job chapter 38, verse 22. Hast thou entered into the treasure of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? There it is. God said, I don't have to make it. I already got it. And I'm reserving it for the time of trouble. Daniel said, there's going to come a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And you just picture those 57-pound blocks of ice coming down, battering and shattering and slaughtering as the wrath of God is felt throughout the land. It's coming. And you can't stop it. My Lord's going to rule this world. He's going to judge this wicked race. those who boast and carry on with their fists in the face of God have but a limited time. The mercy of God is gradually being withdrawn. Unless you misunderstand me, I want to make something clear. You don't have to wait until that day to go too far. Bible says there's such a thing as the sin against the Holy Ghost. I don't want you to misunderstand. It's possible to be in good health with money in your pocket, and yet you've gone too far. You've crossed the line of no return. How did you do it? Not by being in darkness, but by ignoring the light when the light came. Let's say amen, beloved. The Bible says, in that day, it will be as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. In other words, there's nowhere to hide. Nowhere to go in the day of his fierce anger. When the wrath of God is poured out upon the willfully impenitent and the hopelessly lost. It says, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. Of course, you know, beloved, that's talking about the lost. When God starts shaking this earth. And I read it to you. And I want to tell you something. When he was here before in the judgment of the flood, the Bible says he shook once the earth. But the next time, earth and heaven. Well, I didn't realize the significance of that until we started flying to the moon. We got some people who are so foolish, they say we've got to build some stations in outer space. And we've got to put some people out there so that if a nuclear war breaks out and this whole world is destroyed, there'll be somebody out there who can come back and start all over again. That's how foolish the mind of man can be, even though he is intelligent and knows how to shoot rockets into space. Stupid! God said, all right, go on out there. Build yourself a house on the moon. Last time I judged this world, just did it with flood. Everything on earth died. But the next time I get upset, it's going to be heaven and earth shaking. You can run, but you can't hide. If you go to the moon, what difference does it make? The moon is within the sphere of the earth and under the influence of its gravity. Only 250,000 miles out there. In the daytime, it's hot enough to melt lead. At night, it drops to 240 degrees below zero. There's no oxygen out there. If you're fool enough to go out there, go ahead. God said, when I get ready, I'm going to get you. Because I'm going to shake heaven as well as the earth. What you say, man, out there? Every vestige of sin and evil will be destroyed. You can't run from God. Oh, beloved, look at this now. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8 says, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen! And Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. You got it? Spiritual confusion is an insult to God. Things are being done today in the name of religion that are so revolting, I don't see how God can stand it. And yet there are Christians in those places. Spiritual confusion in churches that do not obey God's commandments, that are locked up on the true Sabbath. God says to his people, come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sin. Well, what's sin? 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. Come out where they're breaking my law. Come out where they're breaking my law. That you be not partaker of her sin, that you receive not of her plagues, because it's on Babylon that the plagues will come. Would you say amen out there? Not only that, after the plagues comes the judgment. You got to pay again. Bible says when Jesus comes Gonna be some wicked people on earth. Gonna be some righteous people on earth. And the last end of the wicked will be when fire comes down from God out of heaven and destroys them, and that's hell. Well, what about the saints? Now, you've read this, I imagine, many times, but I'm going to read it to you tonight. And if you can see it, I want you to read it with me. It's Psalms 91, verses 7 and 8. God said there, 1,000, come on, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. God's going to put his sheltering palm over his people. He's going to spread an umbrella of grace over his people. If you read on in Psalms 91, it says, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Would you say amen out there? God's going to take care of his people. And when other folks have blood to drink, he says, your water shall be sure. Jesus is going to take care of those who put their trust in him. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you. What is your decision? If you want to be caught in the wrath of God, you haven't thought it through. If you want to be on the Lord's side, if you want a place to hide, if you want to rest in the bosom of the Lord like a little lamb in the bosom of the shepherd, if you want to make sure that no plague comes nigh your dwelling, then you'd better find Jesus, who is the life. Would you say amen out there? You better find the sheltering arm of the Lord, because he's the only one who can help us. Now, beloved, we've been in church all day, and I commend you, worshiping the Lord practically all day long. I thank God for people who love his word. I thank God for you. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't love the Lord. Am I right? I don't think you'd be here if you didn't want to hear the truth. Am I right? Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, the more truth you hear, the more responsible you are. For to whom much is given, much is required. And the Lord said, to those that know to do good and do it not, they shall be beaten with many stripes. It's going to be worse in hell for someone who knew the truth than for someone who didn't know it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've come. You've had. And Christ is tugging at your heartstrings. We are asking you then to make a decision to be on the Lord's side. To come out of Babylon. There are those who are officers out there. Training for the ministry out there. What good is it when the plagues come? What good is it? If God ever called a man to preach, he called him to preach the truth. What good is your position when the hail begins to fall? Who's going to save you then? I ask you to use that 2.5-pound electrochemical computer called a brain and think. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord asked. What will you sell your soul for? A boyfriend? A girlfriend? What will you take for your soul? A position? A pretty building? What will you take for your soul? A job? A house? Tell me, what you gonna do when the world's on fire? What's it gonna mean then? Money? Bible says they'll throw their silver and their gold into the streets, and no one will pick it up. We're getting there, folks. Jesus is coming soon, and all of this has got to happen before he comes. If Christ is coming soon, this must happen sooner. And men who don't even know God know that we are on the brink of something unusual. This is a time of expectancy. War men and statesmen and government leaders are saying it can't go on like this. Henry Kissinger
wrote an article once that I clipped. He was quoted by James Reston in the New York Times. Kissinger said, "As Secretary of State, I've got to do all I can to show optimism and to make the world think that they can get it together." But he said, "I am first of all an historian. And as an historian studying the records of the past, I must tell you that civilization cannot last much longer." And Henry Kissinger does not know what you know. And yet he said, the world can't last much longer. I'm appealing to you. This coming Sabbath, we're going to have a big baptism out here. Come on and say amen. What are you so shy about? Souls going to be born into the kingdom of God by baptism. You need to be in that number. Sinner, please don't let this harvest pass. How many more times do you think you have? How many more years will you flit about from place to place before you find an anchor in the Word of God? How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If man is God, serve Him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I made myself a choice. Come what may, I'm going to walk with the Lord. If I don't have a dime in the bank, I'm going to walk with the Lord. If my friends turn against me, I'm going to walk with the Lord. If my family kicks me out, I'm going to walk with the Lord. For there is no future anywhere else. And God's not trying to scare you. That isn't worth a hill of beans. God is saying, folks, this is coming. Why let it happen to you when I love you so much? Well, Lord, how can we miss it? Come unto me. All ye that labor, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to miss it. Come unto me. Well, Lord, how can I qualify? How can I get myself into line so that when the plagues begin to fall, they won't fall on me? The Bible says, blessed are they that do His commandments. They have a right to the tree of life and will enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, beloved, God's not kidding us. It's heaven or hell. No middle ground to go to. It's heaven or hell. No such thing as purgatory. It's heaven or hell. No second chance. It's heaven or hell. So God says, choose life. Please, the great God of heaven, pleading with mortal man. He said, why will ye die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. God wants to save us. That's why he told me to tell you. This coming Sabbath day, God's going to ask you individually, are you ready to obey me now? Or will you still worship me in vain? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Who is on the Lord's side? And thank God some are going to walk out and say, Lord, here am I. I give up this world. Give up honor. Give up whatever else stands in the way of my soul. I'm surrendering all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Somebody's going to do that Sabbath. Will it be you? Will it be you? Will it be you if you are determined to follow Jesus? Not Brooks. I don't need anybody following me. Don't need you. But if you have decided to follow Jesus, and you know it's going to be rough, you know there are going to be problems, but you want to serve Jesus anyhow. You want the courage to do right and stop fooling around. I want you to get on your feet now and let's tell the Lord. Let's tell Him one more time. How we feel. Well, here we are again, Lord. Standing up, signifying that we want to be saved.
But we've got a part to play. We've got a decision to make. You're not going to save us against our wills. But if we're willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, blessed Lord, how can I bear it if these people are lost? How can we stand it if these wonderful people turn their backs on you? Oh, God, give us good sense. Help us to see our responsibility. Let the Holy Ghost come and don't even let us have rest until we've made our calling and election sure. For the wrath of God is soon to break upon the earth, and there shall be a time of trouble. At that time, you've told us that men will turn against false teachers, but it'll be too late. They will hate false churches, but it'll be too late. Oh, Lord, save us now, while the blood is running warm in our bodies, while we're clothed in our right mind. Save us now. Save us now, while it's praying time, while the doors of probation are flung back on the hinges of mercy. Save us now. In Jesus' name. There is hope for you who deny the mark of the beast. There is hope for you, though false prophets are increased. There is hope for you in heaven, they are called least. But there's hope in Christ for you. There is hope for you, but the plagues soon will fall. There is hope for you, and man won't escape at all. There is hope for you, though, who now on mercy call. There is hope in Jesus for you. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May you have a good night's rest. May angels guard your sleep. Keep you all day tomorrow. Bring you back here tomorrow night for that intriguing apocalyptic message, the seven seals of the Revelation. You'll never forget it. Oh, blessed Lord, keep us safe until then and disturb us in our lethargy. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Please be careful going home, and may the good Lord go with you is my prayer.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.